Tonight's Thursday night eviction recap of Big Brother 19 is sponsored by Hubble Contact Lenses. Are you tired of overpaying for uncomfortable contact lenses? Do you overwear your contact lenses to save money? Well, with Hubble Contact Lenses, you could be getting new contact lenses for every single day, 60 contact lenses for $30. Do the math, that's $1 a day, half the price of other brands. When you go to HubbleContacts.com, you'll get your first 2 weeks for free. You want to know how big of a difference contact lenses could make for you? Cameron would still be in the house right now and winning Big Brother 19 if he had some of these Hubble contact lenses. You could be changing them in and out like your David and Danya with daily quality lenses for half the price of the other guys. Hubble keeps their contact lenses affordable because they sell directly to you, so they can offer contacts for half the price. They can send you to an optometrist, too, if you don't have a prescription yet. So no more overpaying or overwearing. See what everybody's talking about in Vogue, GQ, TechCrunch, and Mashable. Go to HubbleContacts.com to get your first 2 weeks of lenses for free. That's 15 pairs of lenses for free. You really can't beat this deal. Hubble's offering our listeners 2 weeks of free contacts. Just go to HubbleContacts.com and get 20/20 vision for half the price. That's H-U-B-B-L-E contacts.com. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's a man whose heart was touched by the greatest showmance in the history of Big Brother, David and Danya. I'm Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our Thursday night recap of Big Brother 19. And we've got a fun show here tonight as we said goodbye to one half of Jody for the second time this season. No halting hex to be used tonight as Jessica went out of the house. And here to break it all down with me, we have a great guest from Big Brother 15. Please welcome back to the podcast the great Spencer Clawson. Spencer, how are you?
Good, good. Hey, thanks for having me. It's been a while, man.
Yeah, it's been a minute. And Spencer, happy to have you here tonight to talk about everything that's going on. And of course, a man who does not stop talking about Big Brother. Here is Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm so pumped. There's no jury buyback for the first time since before this guy played on Big Brother.
Wow, like, how about that?
It's crazy. So happy.
Pumped up. Okay. Why did Julie say that to the house?
Because at this point, it is legitimately a twist that they're not having that twist.
Mm-hmm. But isn't it expect the unexpected? It's not just expect what we'll tell you to expect.
I don't know.
All right. That being said, a lot to do here tonight. Hashtag RHAP to get your questions into the show as we discuss everything going on with Jessica going out of the house, Alex as your new HOH, and what the prospects are for Cody moving forward here tonight on the live show. I thought we had a really fun show last night with Cameron Hurd, the first person out from this season. I thought he was really fun on the podcast I did last night with him and Brent. If you want to check that out on robhasawebsite.com. Great to hear Cameron's story, even if you already watched tonight's episode. And even though we've moved on, a lot of fun stuff from our conversation with Cameron as we move forward 1 week to the double eviction. All right. So, Spencer, first off, what's going on with you? What are you up to?
Man, not much, dude. Just living the life. Actually, this past week has really been damn good for me, Robin. I'm glad that I can share this with you, Taryn, Scott, all the listeners. I want everybody to hear this. I actually paid off my mortgage.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. So for the past 2 years, basically, I've been working like two jobs and putting that money back, and I paid off my house, so I am mortgage free.
Yeah. Wow. Anyway, did you have did you have a philosophy on how you were able to pull that off?
No, I mean, no philosophy, just, you know, stack cash and you know, pay it off. So that's kind of a goal we set a few years ago, and just kind of stuck to it. You know, we really do our budget very well. You can't see it. I messed up my camera, but anyway, I got some, see those up there? That's don't try to stare. I don't want nobody screenshot that and look into Zoom. And that's our
too
bills.
Late.
We keep our bills very, I shouldn't have showed that. Now I was going to tease that this is a green screen, or I'm on the set of a production of Hoarders I'm working on. But anyway, no, like we just kind of kept our budget tight and, you know, watched going out to eat and things like that. You know, I, you know, I'm not going to go to Amanda Zuckerman's wedding because that would be a snooze fest. So I put that money right towards the mortgage. And life is good now.
Yeah.
So.
Well, congratulations. That is a great milestone. And now now you're playing with house money, literally.
That's right. That's exactly right.
That's right.
Next September 1st, when that old mortgage payment would have come around, I'm just gonna take it to the casino.
Boom. Yeah. Keep putting it on. Yeah.
All
put it
black,
on black
baby.
Every month. You're right.
That's it.
And let's see. Let's see what happens. All right. So anyway, speaking of, the house, let's get into Big Brother. Awkward transition. And yeah, Jessica ended up finally going out this week. Spencer, we haven't talked to you this season. What's been your reaction to Jess and Cody? Have you been sympathetic to them or have you been frustrated with them?
No, I'm kind of on the fence, honestly, because there's a part of Cody that I really like. I mean, he honestly seems like you take him out in the environment, he'll be like a good stand-up dude. I mean, the guy obviously was, fought in the military. I'm not really one of those thank you for your service fucking things everybody says to people because I think that's, half-hearted when people say that. But I think that Cody's a pretty good dude. Jessica, I don't know. She gives me a little bit of a Natalie vibe,
Natalie BB18?
Yeah. So, like, I think there's just some kind of phoniness there, probably. Even though, I mean, I don't know. Sometimes I got some genuineness out of her. But no, I thought Cody was a terrible game player. I thought Jessica was a terrible game player. She was on to things. She had some good instincts, but, like, she never could, like, really figure out how to turn those into game. And so, I don't know. I'm not upset to see her out.
One of the things I really resented tonight was there was a lot of talk about Jessica. You just threw away $500,000 for Cody. You threw it all away for a guy. Was Jessica going to win this game, Spencer?
No, Jessica, I don't think she was not cast to win this game. She got on the show because she's gorgeous. So, I mean, she looks good in a tight dress and boom, that's kind of like half the recipe for a Big Brother cast.
Yeah.
So, but no, she was never going to win the game. I mean, it's just like Kevin. Like, we love Kevin. But, like, honestly, is Kevin going to be anybody's favorite player of all time or, like, some, like, a fantastic winner? No. Like, he's got third place written all over him. But,
right.
I mean.
You shut up, Spencer. You shut up about Kevin.
Third place, Spencer. Okay. we share that. But in terms of Kevin, I actually thought that tonight was a really good night for Kevin in terms of at least his edit. I walked away from tonight's episode feeling like that Kevin is the one person that I think is almost unanimously, has the highest approval rating in the house, Taryn.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that. I mean, his plan was an utter failure. And I do think the edit, you know, got that across. But he was like the only person that was nice to Jessica and Cody as like the underdogs. And we did see some kind of gameplay from him, which is kind of breaking character, at least for that kind of archetype. So I think a lot of people came away from this episode thinking, you know what? Now that Jessica's gone and Cody's probably on his way out, Kevin is our new savior.
Okay, we'll see.
Well, Taryn, will you answer this for me? Does anybody see Kevin as any more than just a fun, goofy old man? I mean, is anybody going to be like, Kevin really had something he brought to the table? I mean, is that really happening?
I think that there's definitely some rumblings of that. You know, they are concerned about Kevin. Alex has been concerned about Kevin for a long time because of the whole hinky vote stuff. They see him walking around the house and making deals. They know that he's smarter than he's letting on. However, there is still a sentiment in there, and Elena has expressed this, that he is just kind of the sweet older guy that's probably not doing much. So I think there's a bit of back and forth there. I know that Paul really respects Kevin's game, and that's pretty huge, I think. If Kevin ends up in the end and Paul's in the jury, I think Paul will say, no, guys, look, Kevin was actually playing the whole time. You just didn't see it.
Okay. Spencer, so there's been so much talk this season about, Paul's dominance and Paul's going to steamroll. And certainly with Alex winning the HOH this week, it looks like it should be on paper an easy week for Paul. And I think that what people are hoping for the most part, from what I read and see on social media, is that people are hoping for maybe some exterminators type group to get together around the time that you guys got together in Big Brother 15 to knock Paul out of the game. Do you think this season is on that trajectory?
I think that Paul would be, if they have a second double eviction, I think Paul would be a great person to get up in, which that would be kind of at that point in the game. You know, Rob, this is kind of what I'm worried about. I think that Paul has aligned himself with the gamers in the house. Okay. I don't know if that's really a good thing for him, because they will kind of get the end part and be like, you know, we have to get rid of Paul. I think that Paul would, I don't know. It's really kind of hard to answer that, because the people left in the house, I don't really see them as particular gamers. I don't think that Mark and Elena and, you know, Matt and Raven, I don't see them as people that if they get to a certain point, they will be there for a vote. But I don't know if they're going to have the wherewithal or the forethought to have that idea to do it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. As a Big Brother veteran, are you pulling for Paul to pull this off, or are you hoping for these underdogs to get together?
Man, I always root for a good game. I'm not a Paul hater. I noticed that a lot of former house guests are. I don't know if that's just drinking the old haterade, or do people still say that?
They do now.
Bringing it back. I think they're just kind of hating on the guy because he is getting in there. He's playing a good game. He does not have the most motivated game players. There are people that are wanting to make their stipend and stay in the house till jury. But he is playing. He's working it. So, I'm all for him. Until somebody shows up with a better game, then let's just let him keep doing it. That's not going to hurt my feelings. I know this for entertainment. People like it for the TV show and that kind of thing. But I see this as social Olympics. And right now, Paul's wearing all the gold medals. So we'll just if he keep him around his neck, good for him.
Taryn, have you seen that in the Big Brother alumni community? Do you feel like that there is a lot of anti-Paul sentiment?
Yeah, I think that the majority of people are against Paul at this point, especially after the events that transpired a week or so ago, where they all kind of ganged up on Jess and Cody. That seemed to be the turning point where everyone was firmly against Paul, even though they had already kind of started to drift that way. I would say most of the alumni were on the Jess and Cody side.
Interesting, because I feel like that during certainly during Big Brother OTT, I feel like that most of the alumni were supportive of Jason in the house. It feels weird to me that the alumni would turn on Paul.
Well, I think that's because most of the alumni didn't watch Big Brother OTT.
That's the difference. That's the difference. Yeah. Taryn, were you wearing that shirt before?
Yeah, of course. What are you talking about? I'm a magical creature. Sometimes things shift, you know, my clothes change. Maybe there'll be a quiz afterward. Who knows?
Who knows? Spencer, let's talk about the big fight that we had seen on the live feeds during the week. It started with the spelling bee. And again, Jessica, she's always just trying to, provoke. She's always prodding, trying to get a reaction. And we saw that once again tonight with her and Josh when, for no reason, she asked him if he knows how to spell drought for no reason.
Sure. What do I think about that?
Yeah.
It's bitchy. That's just the only way to say it. The thing is, and Rob, obviously, you know this, that in these type of social manipulation games, you know, they're not like checking out and going to work and getting other things in their mind and watching some TV and reading a book and getting other things in their mind. Like, it is like, I hate Josh. And, you know, you're going to take your stabs. I mean, that's just kind of part
She's always stabbing away.
Always stabbing away. But, like, I mean, you know, he's an easy guy to want to, pick on, too. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it was dumb on her part. I mean, that's pretty, like, lowbrow type of slam. Oh, can you spell drought, you know? But, you know, what's she going
to
do?
Yeah. And it took him a while to end up working out and workshopping the comeback of, I got it. Why don't you spell evicted?
Yeah. It was like there's probably like a SNL, like writer's room thing where they're like, oh, we got this. Okay, go in there and send this to her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. And ultimately, it just was so much friction between them and with Josh. And ultimately, we got to see Josh come back to the pots and the pans, Spencer. Are you a fan of that?
I mean,
you like it?
I like it. I mean, push the buttons. It's when you do things like that, you're making as many enemies as your friends. You might be impressing the people that are working with you at that point in the game, but it's certain they're certainly putting in the back of their mind that Josh is somebody that at some point I'm not going to want to deal with, you know? And so that sets him up for like double eviction coming up here soon. I mean, there's definitely some things that that he needs to worry about with that kind of behavior.
Yeah. Now, Spencer, there's been a lot of comparisons between what Josh is doing to what Evil Dick did in Big Brother 8. But wasn't Amanda also, did she get out the pots and pans when she was trying to rattle Alyssa?
No, she didn't get out the pots and pans. I don't remember. She had like a kazoo and she dressed up in a robe, which was bizarre. Yeah. I mean, it was the best. Like, I think that when Joey did her character on Alex on BB16, I think that was
a throwback.
When you dress up as someone else, I think it's a little bit bizarre and weird. But no, you know, Amanda, they even put on the edit, even though she gets a lot of shit to this day about, oh, you bullied Alyssa. Oh, my God, the poor Alyssa club still meeting. but, you know, the thing is about that is she was trying to make Alyssa run to Andy for comfort so that she wouldn't put Andy on the block. Okay. That's what the thing is, the strategy behind that. And it wasn't necessarily just to push buttons. Now, as a person that sat there and watched it, listened to it, there's a certain point where we're like, this is a little uncomfortable, but who cares? It is Alyssa, you know? So, I don't know. They're not the same thing. And as far as like him and Evil Dick, I mean, anytime somebody drops a pan, they're going to be like, oh, they're trying to go like Evil Dick. You know, Josh is honestly, I think, taken to a new level. I think the circus music is fantastic. And he's just annoying as hell, really. I mean, he's just there to keep people he kept Cody and Jessica uncomfortable. But, Rob, this is my thing. Will that work going in weeks ahead? Okay. Because right now, for 51, 52, 53, whatever it is, days, they've had a common enemy of Jody. Okay. It's really easy to get along with people when you all have a common enemy. Now that that's kind of fading, this Alex HOH is going to be, hopefully it will be interesting, but it's going to be the most interesting thing about it is it's almost like the game's got to reset now because we can stop focusing on these two and figure out where our other targets are, you know, people we need to take out. Let's start strategically plucking this chicken, pulling each feather off we need to so we can cook it and win this money. Yeah. That's kind of where they're at right now.
Yeah, I actually think that there could be some intrigue to be had this week. I know that Brent is besides himself on Twitter right now with Alex ultimately being the HOH, but I think there's a lot of interesting outs this week. Number one, between Cody potentially having the option to compete in the Temptation competition and then ultimately winning the veto. But then you have a lot of work that needs to go into having pawns this week, and I feel like that now with that side of the house in power, I do feel like that we could see some cracks between the one major paw alliance. Taryn, do you think that's a possibility for this week, or am I just wearing rose-colored glasses or cat ears?
Well, I think Cody definitely needs to be safe if we want any real intrigue this week, because I think then we'll see a lot of jockeying for position in terms of who goes home between Mark and Elena, or maybe they take a shot at Matt or somebody like that. I think there's definitely a lot of room to play there. And if they do make a move against Mark, Elena, or Matt, then we could easily see some part of that group starting to wake up and be like, wait a minute, why am I being targeted right now? At the very least, we'll have some sort of blindside on the way for us. So there's still some hope, a little bit.
Spencer, another interesting thing that I think that we could see, especially with the double eviction looming 1 week from tonight, I think that Paul has been well served by his alliance with Alex in the house, where a lot of players don't necessarily know how tight they are. If Alex is really seen as Paul's stooge this week, where it looks like Alex is just carrying out Paul's wishes and Paul is really running her HOH, do you think that this could really entice more people to turn against Paul?
Sure. Like if you're saying if they start to realize that he's got strength and in his relationship with Alex, will it make people
Could that set him up as a potential double eviction target coming up on Thursday?
Yeah. I mean, it could. I don't see him going home on the double. I think that spot's going to fall to this one of the outliers a little bit. I don't really see Paul having anything to worry about this double eviction. You've got a situation that you brought up earlier about, like, you know, if you've got Mark and Elena, who do you take out? you know, things like that. What I think the big concern is, I think that Elaine has got a good idea for the game. I think the Mark is just an emotional wreck. I'm not really a Mark fan.
An emotional wreck at Ralph.
Yes, he is an emotional wreck at Ralph. And, I'm not really a big fan of him. So, like, and I'm getting back to your original question. But, like, it's in those situations, like, let's just say that is the nominees. Who do you keep? Do you keep Elena, who's got a mind for the game, or do you keep Mark, who will likely start having, like, a Lonely Hearts Club alliance with Cody? You know what I'm saying? Two people that could potentially win some power, win some vetoes, win some competitions, and make a change, you know, and target Paul for that double eviction. I think that – I really hope that Alex will if this is one of those, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. If they're working together, then whoever she targets is going to be somebody that's going to be good for both of them to get out. But I do hope that just for her sake, talking about like, since this is people that are going to be in the jury and be voting for a winner, anybody sitting next to Paul right now in that final two, if it is Alex, she says, hey, we've been working together this whole time. It's going to be kind of a Cody Derek thing. You're going to say, well, you just did everything that Paul wanted you to do, so you didn't play your own game. It would be great if she could execute some moves of her own volition, some desires that she has, to see how the game will shape and walk down the next few weeks, maybe without so much of Paul's input.
Taryn, I really thought that Alex did not come across well tonight. I think that, you know, she was wearing the hat that said petty. She was talking a lot of smack to Jessica, even implying that she was going to steal Cody out from under her. I think that that Jessica did represent herself well, I thought, in the conversation with Julie. And I thought that Alex just came off looking poorly.
Yeah, I think especially to an audience that probably doesn't know the extent of their history, the comment about like, I'll take care of Cody sounds very kind of out of the blue and really strange and weird. So I definitely feel like this was not a good look for Alex. And, I think she had a lot of goodwill when she was HOH last.
The first time,
we'll see. Yeah, we'll see what happens this week. But if she is talking about like, I got to do what Paul wants and, you know, screw Jess, screw Cody, I could see her easily becoming one of the more hated people on this season.
Did you have that sweater on before?
Yeah. Rob, why are you being so weird about what I'm wearing?
I'm sorry. I get very distracted here. Sorry. I apologize, Spencer, for getting caught off guard there. You know, what's your take on Alex as a player? Because I thought that she was somebody who, as Tara mentioned, the first time she won HOH, I really thought that she was going to be one of the breakout personalities, but she's just sort of migrated up Paul's butt for this whole season, Spencer.
Yeah, but what's wrong with that? I mean, Andy was up Amanda's ass. I hate to talk about Monk season, but like when you've got players that have a good grip on all the information in the house, you've got players that are in kind of control of the actions, what's going on in the house. Why not be close with them? You know, I mean, it's not a bad gameplay to be close to the people that other people are gravitating towards or are listening to, taking orders from even. You know, so no, I do think she still has a chance to be kind of a standout personality in the house. I think she is. I think she's fun. I mean, you know, like, yeah, she kind of looking bad as far as like kind of her goodbye message today. But really, Jessica's not in the jury. It doesn't matter. I thought it was hilarious. I'm sure there's plenty of like dumbasses out there that were like, yes, slay queen, you know, that kind of stuff. But, you know, I think that she's funny. The cat ears annoy the shit out of me. I want those out of the way. I want her to lose those. What's that?
Why you hate cats?
No, I love cats. I got a cat in there. I love the things. No, it just, I don't know. It's like the freaking whistle nut shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, give me a break. Like, I don't know. Like that kind of stuff. Just, it's kind of like Judd and the Bear shirt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly what I was just thinking.
I was like, oh my God, you're most famous for making a shirt from Walmart popular. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's to me, it just drives me crazy. It's just one of those things where it's like, It seems cheeseball. I don't know. Don't like it. But the cat ears bug me. So if she'll lose those, I'll like her a lot more.
Yeah.
Is this breaking news? Was Spencer the one that hid the cat ears all along?
Could be.
Oh. A big revelation. Okay. What about strategically in terms of wearing the whistle nut shirt? Is that, do you like that in terms of sort of like the public declaration, I'm with whistle nut, or do you think it's something that could be problematic?
I don't like it. I mean, like it just, it's one of those things that like, you know, people wear the bear shirt. People wear that. It's, It's like, this person likes me enough to let me wear their shirt. We've got this relationship. It's just kind of like it's goofy. It's like a secret handshake in a way. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't really mean a whole lot, but like, there is something to it socially. If you're going to let somebody wear your clothes, let them be seen in your clothes, especially like, that's a career for Jason. It's not just some shirt he bought, you know? I mean, like, it, in a way, it represents the Whistlenut brand when they're wearing it. And, you know, I don't know. I don't like it, but it's just because I'm a curmudgeon-y old bastard. So there's nothing wrong with it, though.
So going back to Jess, I thought that she had a pretty iconic eviction speech before she went out of the house. Let me play this, and then I want to get your take on if there could be any potential fallout from this. This is Jessica.
And house guests, it took 15 of you and half of the season to get one of two targets out of the house. So I wish I could say I'm impressed, but I'm not. And Cody and I have never been the biggest targets here. It's not Forrest Gump over there. It's actually Mr. Friendship. And if you guys leave him in the house any longer than you already have, then you're bigger idiots than I thought you were. Bring me home, Julie.
Well, alrighty then.
And a little Ace Ventura pet detective shout out from Julie Chen. Okay, so Spencer does a shot across the bow like that of that Paul is going to win the game if you let him. Do you think that has any effect on the house?
Yeah, I do. Like right now, like I said, they're still in that mindset of like, ooh, look what we did, patting themselves on the back. Like, we're getting rid of, we're breaking up the showmance, you know. They're still kind of in that mode, but like that's going to hang with them. And, you know, like I said, right now, Paul is aligned with the people that I feel like are the biggest gamers in the house. So they're going to take the information differently because they're going to say, yeah, he's doing good, but actually it's us too. But yeah, I mean, it sank in. Like, there's people that are going to go to bed and not thinking about it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, it was effective. I mean, will he get anything done next week or the week after that? I mean, who knows? Probably not. But it's there in their head, you know.
Taryn, I think that was an effective, pointed attack, and maybe the most direct one we've seen go against Paul this season, where we saw the attacks from Dominique of Paul is a snake, he slithers around the house, and Paul was able to turn it around and say, okay, I guess you're right, I guess I am a snake, I'm going to dress up like a snake. We saw then last week on the Thursday night show where Cody talked about everybody here. They're all your dogs. And then Paul was like, okay, I guess everybody is my dogs. Okay, dogs, why don't you bark at everybody? Because you're all my dogs. But here, I don't know how he necessarily turns this around. They're like, okay, I guess I'm going to win the game. I guess I'll just go and spend my $500,000 everywhere. And I guess I'll just go and be the winner of Big Brother 19. And then you guys all lost. I guess that's what's going to happen, Jess.
Walk around with confetti in his pockets, just like, oh, I'm the winner.
I just won the game. I'm so not pissed.
Yeah, you know, it is something that it's going to be hard for him to turn around, but it's the same message that they've been saying all along, and it wasn't really specific enough, I think. I think that a lot of people are aware of the fact that Paul is kind of telling people what to do, and they're okay with it. The thing that needs to be pointed out to them is, hey, guess what? Paul has this 4, and this 3, and this 3, and you can't all be in the group that Paul plans on taking to the end, and if he's bossing everyone around, you need to be careful about what side you're on. But they didn't really say that. And Cody even has that information because Kevin came to him and told him about this group of 4. And, you know, I don't know why she wouldn't call that out in public, but, you know, at least it was something.
Yeah. Now, also, Jessica mentioned Forrest Gump in that clip, Spencer. Who's Forrest Gump? Is that Josh?
I believe that's who she's referring to, right?
I would assume so.
Mama always said life is like a meatball.
Yeah, and like we got a new one, linguine today on the
thing. What's linguine? Linguine, cannoli. Stop.
He's getting off brand.
He's too far off brand.
Life is like an Italian restaurant.
Yeah, exactly.
Never know what you're gonna get.
Yeah,
mostly meatballs.
Yeah,
mostly meatballs.
Yeah, not good. In terms of Cody moving forward, Spencer, do you see any possibility for him?
No, I don't. I don't know if there's a road to the final two for him, really. I don't think he's going to get in that magic so hated spot that they take him to the end. I think that he'll be somebody that somebody will feel really good about getting out, almost like a throwaway HOH. Like, if he's not – he's not good enough at the game. He's not good at making friends. He's not good at like, if he gets power, he would blow it. I mean, like, he's just really not that good at the game. So I even tweeted tonight that, you know, I didn't even win HOH. I'd like him for him to have a few weeks without any kind of power to try to figure this game out and actually play. You know, it's going to start with some deals. There was some talk about maybe making like Kevin tried to make kind of like the Aaron deal with Helen and Alyssa, you know, about what kind of we control your HOH if you get one, but we'll keep you, you know, things like that. There is an idea of bringing him under somebody's wing, but like, you know, it's just like he said, he's not going to make any deal. That deal was trash as soon as he made it with Kevin. But that's dumb. Like, really, he should say, you know, sometimes you've got to like kiss the ring. You got to kiss the ass of whoever's in charge, who's got power, who's getting through the game in a strategic manner, not just, you know, sleeping through it, and try to kind of wiggle your way into going from being an important number. Because as long as you've got a vote, you're important to a certain extent. And, you know, and he could have done fine. And pairing with that group of four would have been, I think, in a lot of ways, could have been a really good move for him, at least acting like he was, like really kind of drawing it out, making them believe it. Because I don't think Mark and Elena, you know, even Matt and Raven, I mean, like you really kind of shrink the amount of people that would put you on the block if you do that. But he's not smart enough to do it.
Yeah, Taron, Cody is such an interesting guy because most people in this situation would attempt to go under the radar, would attempt to sort of curry favor with the people in power and act like, hey, I'm no big threat, don't worry about me. But that's just not Cody's MO. Is there any way that counterintuitive strategy is effective?
It can be. You know, but I think you have to play to your type, and like Cody is so good at competitions that it's just like, well, we could just leave him in because he doesn't care about the game anymore. He only cares about Jess, but he's going to win a bunch of comps and then he's going to target us. So we have to get him out. Like our hands are tied. Even if they don't want to get him out, which a lot of them don't. A lot of them are like, we're fine with Cody. Like we know where he stands. We'd rather get out Mark or Elena. But they have to get him out because he's going to win an HOH and target them one week or another.
Okay. I want to get into your questions here in just a moment. Hashtag RHAP. In terms of Cody now as a challenge threat, do you think that he has a good chance to avoid the block this week, Spencer?
There's always the temptation competition. So, yeah, sure. I think he's got as good a chance as anybody. I mean, he is a competitor. Just like Taron said, he's a guy that can win competitions. But yeah, I think there's a good chance he'll stay off the block.
Now, Taron, do you feel like that will be part of a back door for Cody? Do you think that is the modus operandi for Paul and his minions?
Yeah, if I'm going to plot out the week here, what I assume is going to happen is Alex will put up Mark and Elena. Someone will go into the temptation competition meant to throw it so that they'll take that third spot on the block. And then anybody that wins the veto will then use it. And Cody will go up as the backdoor.
Okay, so we'll see how that plays out. I thought there was some interesting speeches as well, in addition from Jessica. I thought Elena throwing some shade at Dominique, bringing back the basketball speech, Spencer. What was that about?
I thought it was really funny. I think it's kind of clever of Elena to do that. I mean, Dominique gave one of the dumbest, weirdest, craziest speeches I've ever heard. You know, so... I thought it was funny that she did that.
This was Dominique's speech.
It's never easy to witness a false fact. It's never easy to dribble the ball back. So I dribble to scribble through all of that, dunking hope against hope, I call this very moment.
Remember Dominique? Remember when everybody said she was playing the best game in the house, Darren?
Yeah, I remember saying that.
Yeah, and then and amazingly, Raven up on the block this week, and very important. Raven raising awareness of the gastroparesis. It is Gastroparesis Awareness Month, which we will be talking about all month long here on the podcast, Darren.
Yeah, well, you know, she thanked everyone for making her feel normal, and I think that when she gets out of the house, she'll really appreciate how many people are treating her like a normal person that doesn't have an illness.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot to wear my brown ribbon for gastroparesis awareness month.
Yeah, all month long. All month long. Okay. Let's get to some of your questions here tonight. And why don't we start off with Byron, who wants to ask, what will Paul do with his HOH this week? That's a good question. So congratulations to Paul on his third HOH of the season. Well done, Paul. Okay. Steven wants to ask, what is so amazing about David? Seems like Danya is doing all of the heavy lifting. Spencer, what did you think about this HOH challenge tonight? Sort of a bizarre competition. We brought in David and Danya, and it was like, okay, well, what is this about? And so David hangs up curtains, and Danya changes outfits. Where did they get these people from?
Yeah.
Who saw this and scouted this and says, you know what? This would be a great HOH competition.
This must have been like Alison Grodner's must have had like her husband's or like someone in her family's like her cousin, David, just get out of rehab. He really needs some help. He needs a boost to get back on his feet. You know, let's bring him in. What I think is funny about this is, can you imagine like when they're all sitting around a production meeting and they're like, what are we going to do for this HOH competition? And it's like, I got an idea. We'll bring in these two people. We can find them. There's bound to be around here somewhere. I saw this great act on a cruise with them. And it's like, she keeps changing all these dresses and they've got to remember if there's diamonds and question marks. It could be brilliant. It'd be one of the greatest comps ever. Like, I hope that Dave and Danya become like a part of like Big Brother from now on. That like, that's going to be the Dave and Danya HOH every year.
Well, you know what happened is that they had the idea for the magic people, and then they had to scour the magic scene for a duo that had an alliteration in the title because we all know that they need the alliteration every week.
Yeah. Chris Hickey in the chat is saying that David and Danya were America's Got Talent season one finalists. So I guess their agent booked them a big gig on Big Brother 19 in the HOH competition.
Man, it's a it must have been like a hookup that they got from Nick Uhas from his on America. because doing science experiments is a talent now, by the way. Does anybody know that?
From the moving company to chief scientist.
Yeah. Like I like Nick. Like I'm not gonna sit here and like trash him or anything like that. But like the old balloon with gas.
You better not use scrub.
It's like,
sorry about that.
Oh, we need some more experiments. We need some more experiments. And not freezing watermelons either or something like that.
Yeah. Well, what I like about Nick is that he always does the same experiments. So he really is nailing these experiments down. But how does Nick have so many access to different chemicals, Spencer? Did he talk about that in the house?
No, he the only thing I knew about him in the house is that he was a rollerblader. He had no interest at all in Gina Marie, and he had the game on lock. So, I mean, I don't get it. He never mentioned one thing about science in the house at all. Now he's, you know, Mr. Wizard.
Yeah, boy. He seems to have access to, like, a Gus Fring level of all these different chemicals. I don't really know how this is working out. But that's all besides the point. Taryn, I think, was it Big Brother 17 that they had a competition where, like, breakdancers came in and they'd answer questions about that? So I feel like that Big Brother does, from time to time, do these weird competitions where watch something and then we'll ask you questions about what you just saw.
Yeah. It's not an uncommon thing. I think it's just an uncommon way of going about the competition. We've seen a lot of outside people come into the house this season. Yeah. I think almost every week we've had at least one or two people from the outside come in. So I think they're going for a theme or something. Who knows?
Spencer, why not have Nick Uhas come in and do some experiments where he could freeze a bowling ball? What color was the bowling ball? Then take a balloon.
was the balloon red or blue that Nick inhaled and made his voice deep? Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, it's the perfectly, you know, missed opportunity here.
Because I think he's got
some free time since, since America's Got Talent didn't work out.
And also a missed opportunity to not then go directly to Cody's reaction of not being impressed with any of the magic tricks. I think that he would be perfect. He might be an ideal judge for America's Got Talent moving forward.
Hey, he could. He could. He's, I mean, he spotted some serious talent in the house with Jessica.
For Jessica.
He could also be like an advisor, like during their training montages where it's just like a ghost version of Cody, like, you can do this.
Yeah.
And then when they actually perform, he's just blank face.
We'll never get a better quote than don't be a beta. I say that all the time now.
Don't be a beta.
Like, oh, don't be a beta. Don't be a beta, Rob.
Yeah. Come on. No, I can't. I can't help it. All right. Stephanie says, there's no way all of Jessica's stuff fit in that bag. Spencer, so is there, that explain this to us, is there like a second suitcase that the house guests have, or is there really all their stuff is in their duffel bag?
Honestly, I think it really kind of, like, they give girls more clothes than guys, I think.
Is this pulling back the curtain too much, like David and Donnie?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. Like, I remember Alyssa had said that she had, it was like $180 over the weight limit fee on her bag to travel, okay?
Right.
And I was like, Jesus, what do you own? I was like, I could put everything I own, you know, on that scale, and it would have been $180. So, like, yeah, I think they give girls more clothes. I had a fairly big bag. They give you rules, like, you have to, like, literally fold them. You can't roll clothes up to try to fit more in there. But, I mean, I'm sure everything
changes. You can't roll your clothes up.
You can't roll your clothes. I was like, I didn't even think about that, but okay.
Yeah. Is that how David and Danya do it, Taryn? She rolled all the clothes up?
Yeah, you just roll it down. I would know.
Yeah. Wait, what do you mean? What do you mean?
I know secrets. Yeah. That's all.
And Danya, you know, on live TV, risking a potential wardrobe malfunction. Very brave job by Danya and the CBS censors.
Yeah.
Well, should we really be praising them when, like, the house guests risk that almost every day on the live feeds? They're the true champions.
Okay. Jay Steckley says, so we established that Josh can spell two words. Should Jess have asked if he knew any song besides the circus theme? Spencer, I thought that was a pretty low class for Spencer to go into the circus theme after Jessica's eviction. I'm glad he stopped after just a couple of bars.
Yes, I think he was probably like, you know, somebody gave him the eye or like shushed him a little bit. Yeah, I mean, it's a little low class, but, you know. Whatever. He's trying to establish himself as a character so he can come back and play BB-20. So,
yeah.
It's all about being memorable.
Is it working?
Yeah, I'd say so. Okay. I mean, like, he's going to be remembered good or bad. I don't know that yet. There's still a lot of game left. But, I mean, he is a big personality. I mean, yeah. For real. We just talked about the meatball. He's got his catchphrase down. I mean, you know, he's doing all that stuff. So,
yeah, has Josh locked up Zach Rance's spot yet?
I think so. I really do. I feel like, you know, people are upset about this right now, but honestly, in a couple of years, they're going to be like, remember Josh and how like awful he was to Jess? Like, he even sung this on her, like, as she was walking out the door. They're going to be like, oh, it's so iconic. That's just how the Big Brother fan base rolls.
does he give y'all like a Howie vibe? He's kind of like a meaner Howie to me.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, like...
Well,
like,
is it really that much meaner? I mean, Howie was...
Yeah, we had April Lewis on a couple of weeks ago, Spencer.
Yeah.
Yeah, love...
poor pepperoni.
Poor pepperoni. like, Howie's the kind of person, like, when I met him in real life, like, the first thing he came up to me, like, I mean, I saw him from, like, across this room, and he was like, oh, moving him out, the moving company! Like, he gets, like, one thing in his head, and, like, that's what he wants to tell you about, like, he'd see McCray, like, oh, McCray, oh, I love you! Like... He's kind of like it's really kind of like he's like a child. It's really funny. So I love Howie, but like he's got a personality that can see a lot of people not liking it. And I think Josh is a lot the same way. I don't think Josh can help it. I think that's just the way he is. I think that he's got this really obnoxious but sensitive personality. It's kind of weird how he can totally dish it out, but he can't take it. Like the way he cries when like he gets, you know, his weight is mentioned, things like that. So I don't know. Josh is a very interesting character.
No, I really don't care about that about him, Spencer. I'm glad you brought that up. That he is such a front runner of when, you know, he's on the offensive. Oh, he's the toughest guy in the room, but he is so weak. As soon as anybody says anything to him, he just like crumbles like a shrinking violet.
Yeah.
Terrible. Yeah. Terrible. Forrest Gump Forrest Gump, he went out there and he went to Vietnam and he served his country. And then when Lieutenant Dan ended up being left for dead, he carried him back. He never gave up, Forrest Gump.
Spoilers.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Like, really? Like, I'm going to spoil it too. Like, I think Forrest only cried when he's talked about his son he had when after Ginny died of AIDS. Like, we're not even anywhere near that.
Yeah.
And Josh is at the waterworks, so.
He doesn't even have a showmance. Yeah.
Yeah.
John wants to know, will Cody be the first house guest to quit the jury? No, he's not going to quit. I did think for a second that he was going to carry Jessica across the threshold and right out of the house. But once he dropped her off at the door, no, he's not going to quit.
Yeah. Like, I've always wondered about that. Like, I teased somebody that, like, I was going to, like, run out and grab him and pull him back in for a second, you know, something like that. But it's almost like, I think it's like a Field of Dreams. Like, once you step over, like, you can't go back. So I think that if you run out of the house, you're just out. I think they don't let you come back.
Yeah.
So Cody, you could tell when Julie told him that they're on jury, you could just read it all over like Cody's like face. He was like, Jessica's out, not me. And oh my God, I won't be able to see her until September. You know, he just had that little, you could just see it, the panic flash over his face.
Now that being said, could he walk out of the jury house? Maybe that's what John is asking. Taryn, do you think, is that a possibility? Could he walk away from the jury house?
I don't think so. I mean, I think he certainly won't want to be there, but I think he'll be there every week giving them content about how he doesn't want to be there.
Yeah.
Sure.
Taryn. Good.
Oh, I was going to say that, like, the jury, they played a little bit different. Like, they're pretty tight-lipped about some things, but, and I wasn't in the jury, you know, just for about 20 minutes. But from talking to other people, I know that, like, wanting to leave jury is a fairly common thing. And they'll tell you things like, you know, no, you want to stay. You've got a lot of fans out there. Like, people really like you. Things like that. So I can see them, you know, I can see him keeping him. I mean, you know, like, I don't think he doesn't really come across as a quitter to me. I mean, this dude's been to, like, war. You think that, like, being around annoying-ass Josh is going to make him, you know, he's like, I've shot the Taliban. And I'm going to leave because this guy's, you know, annoying. I don't really see that.
Yeah. No, but on...
You don't have, like, a lot of Taliban viewers, do you? I'm sorry.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. They hate our freedom of watching Big Brother. But in terms of Cody, I feel like that he just might think... Because his whole attitude is like, this is stupid. This isn't serious. This isn't real life. I'm above this. That's why I could see him like, what do I need this? Why do I need to vote on who's going to win the game in terms of, like, I just want to be with Jessica. I could see him leaving under those circumstances, potentially. But, Taryn, we talked about last night the juiciest of Big Brother rumors about that could Jessica potentially be expecting Cody Jr. Did we ever get any? Is the jury still out?
The jury is still out, and how, we may never know.
Well, I think, well, I think we will know. I think that,
well, theoretically.
Yeah. All right. I mean, that, look, there's a few different outcomes, but if potentially, what a finale night that would be, Spencer, if in true Forrest Gump fashion, we find out that, that Jessica is indeed pregnant with a child.
That would be awesome. I mean, that would absolutely, if she was like, you know, hey, here's my, what do they call it? The baby gel scan. What's it called?
Sonogram.
The sonogram photo of our little bean. This is so cute. I think, wait,
Cody, look, can I ask one question? Is he an alpha or a beta? Just tell me. Just tell me right now, what did they say? Is he an alpha or a beta? Yeah. That's all I need to know.
What if it's like, so Paul just won the season. He walks out to confetti. He's like, yes, I'm the winner. And then we go, whoa, 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 wait, wait. Somebody, there was actually a member of the house that was not voted out. Jessica is pregnant with an unborn child. That person is still in the game. This game is still on. There's still a vote to be had.
I don't know if that's in the rules. I don't know if like an embryo can actually win Big Brother. I don't know.
There's nothing in the rule book that says an embryo can't win Big Brother. I bet that's true.
Where is zygote? Is that a thing?
Yeah, that's a thing.
I don't know.
Okay. All right. We'll see if we can get Christy from Big Brother OTT to check the rule book on that and see if a fetus could win Big Brother. Amy wants to ask, so there isn't a jury buyback because they would all talk and figure out Paul, right? Is that going to be the issue? Because, I mean, are they sequestered or how are they normally doing that, Taryn?
Normally they are in the jury house together. They're told not to speak as far as I'm aware. But they do often speak somewhat, but not like a whole lot, I guess. They try to keep them apart, but obviously they do get to talking. But it's never really impacted the game a whole lot up to this point.
Not the US version, right?
Not the US.
Spencer, though, I do feel like that this is a point in production's favor, because I feel like that if they did have the option to let there be a jury buyback potentially, and in this scenario where Paul goes out in the double eviction, they had the opportunity to, you know, start up the buyback and get a chance at least for Paul to go back into the house and at least string people along that there was this possibility Paul could go back. They have so much invested in this Cody versus Paul storyline. Cody could have come back a third time. So I think that they are really going out on a limb by calling it off and saying that there will not be a buyback for the jury this season.
What do you ask? You asking that it was good on production for doing that?
Well, I think that a lot of people point fingers like, oh, the show's fixed. The show is rigged. They're just going to bring, they'll just bring Paul back. And I feel like that with the first buyback in the season, I did feel like that they were sort of like hedging their bets where it was just Cameron and Jillian in the jury. Sure. And then they didn't announce the buyback until it was going to be Cody who ended up going out of the house. So I feel like that they took an option away from themselves potentially.
They tied their own hands a little bit and not allowing that to be a possibility, especially since they have this Friday episode coming up, which what's that going to be like, a look back at the first half of the season?
Yeah,
clips you didn't see. I mean, like, that's gonna be awful. Like, they like doing these Friday episodes, so like they could have done one, and I'm kind of glad they didn't. I agree with you there that like but like I said, tying their own hands to where they can't just like all of a sudden have one now since they already said that they won't. I think it's good.
Okay.
A little play out. I think it keeps them honest.
Yeah. All right, let's do a few more questions. Reagan wants to know, Spencer, as a noted showman's foe, might there be value in keeping Maven or even Marlena in the game as targets? Do you feel like that is a power move to keep the showmances around?
Looking at the layout right now, it's like, yeah, like Taryn said earlier that like there's a good chance that Cody's going to get back to work. And I could see that happening if he doesn't win the temptation thing, even though like I don't see a lot of there's some value in getting him out, I guess. But anyway, to go after these showmances, I mean, dude, I mean, they're duds. I think they're total duds. And I don't know. Like, if it was like a good showmance, like a Brinchel or even like a McCranda situation, I mean, like, yeah, like split them up, get them apart, that kind of thing. But I mean, I don't know. I don't particularly have a lot of love for these two showmances. So
yeah,
I think like you're giving them a little bit too much respect to say try to bust them up in a way, if that makes sense.
Well, Maven is not even on the show, really. I mean, it'd be almost like a lot to explain that Matt and Raven are a couple.
yeah, exactly. Julie would have to like reference this eviction speech, the poor sick girl with gastroparesis.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. I think that Raven drives me crazy. I just think that I've got her picked in one of my drafts just because she's from Arkansas. She's like 45 minutes away from me here.
Okay.
And which is great in case I have a ghost that needs busted. Or something.
I didn't get to talk on the Sunday night show. That it was a thing in the preseason. Raven is a paranormal investigator. And then it was sort of not mentioned. And then she brought it up on Sunday night. That makes so much more sense to me now, Spencer, that Raven is involved in like exorcisms and any sort of like mumbo jumbo of like coming into people's houses. Like, I feel a disturbance here in this house. Thank goodness you called me. Okay. Let me tell you about the packages to rid your house of these ghosts.
Like she's totally like, okay. Like I said, she lives about 45 minutes away from me. And I hope to meet her one day, and I'll act like I never said this. But she's one of those kind of people that's like, I have prophetic dreams, and I know my mama does, and my grandmommy does, and you know we've been having these prophecies. And just like shut up, you're just a crazy lunatic person, you know. And like in her diary rooms, does she not seem drugged? Like she only give like one DR clip, an episode maybe, like dedicated to her. She's like, I don't know. She's like, oh my God. She drives me crazy. I can't stand her.
I felt the ghost. I felt one.
Spencer, you see that?
Spencer, I have some bad news. I know you just paid off this house, but I can sense that there are demons in here. You need to be giving me that mortgage money every month to come in here and clean this house.
Lord, you take PayPal? Jesus.
Also, this is Ghost Awareness Month. I don't know if you know that. I gotta tell you.
Thank you everyone for treating me like I'm a normal person that doesn't communicate with ghosts.
Don't forget to wear your white ribbon next month. That is Ghost Awareness Month. I'll come in here and I'll clean this whole house. Okay. Arbra wants to know, do you think there's a possibility of an exterminator's type of life? Did somebody say ghost exterminators? Because I can do that for you, Spencer.
I got your poltergeist, your apparitions, your ghouls.
I see a pasty white figure hanging out around. Oh, no, that was just Andy. I'm sorry. But it's Andy. So it says yes or no, exterminator's figure coming in, Spencer.
We kind of already addressed this, so I'm going to have to ask him to reference back at minute 15:32 in the podcast, and I stand by my earlier statement.
All right. Johnny D wants to know, did Kevin make a big mistake trying to approach Cody before Jess left the game? Taryn, do you think that there's going to be some blowback on Kevin in terms of that we saw that Paul and Alex and Whistlenut were anti-Kevin trying to make this move, but were there any ramifications from this?
It didn't really go well. As they showed in the episode, most people weren't very receptive to it, and it ultimately gave Cody information about who Kevin sees as his group that he ultimately shares with Mark and Elena, saying, hey, Mark and Elena, Kevin came up to me and said, if you work with me, Alex, Jason, and Paul to get out Mark and Elena, then we'll keep you around. So this was really not a great look for Kevin. Luckily, this whole fight kind of stopped him in his tracks in terms of going through with the deal, but some of the damage has already been done.
Okay. Let's do a couple more. Chris Hickey, why hasn't BB ever considered doing a Survivor coconut challenge to reveal the pecking order? It could shake up the house. Spencer, is that a good idea?
The what?
In Survivor, they often have a challenge that will reveal the pecking order in some way where the alliance has to, which person do you want to eliminate next? I mean, they do that in some of the vetoes. I think you do get that. And certainly the knockout challenge.
The knockout challenge, yeah, they have that. And that's great. I would like to have that soon. I think that would be fantastic.
So Paul can get a better sense of who's knocking who out in what order.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a crucial part of Big Brother you hold on to your cards, you clutch them so closely to your chest. And in a thing like that, you can't help it. You've got to show your cards a little bit. And so I hope they have one soon.
Okay. This is from Laurie. If Cody is safe tonight or a non-entity to the other house guests, do you think that this week is a good time to evict Christmas? Going back to that Forrest Gump analogy, I do think that Christmas should be our Lieutenant Dan.
Actually got another analogy for Christmas that I've been thinking about here. What about more like a verbal Kent from The Usual Suspects? Spoiler alert.
Okay.
But like, what if at the end of it, like she takes out Paul, you know, like Keaton, blah, 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 blah. And like, you know, her foot's like not really broken and she's like all gets off of her walker and everything. I think that would be fantastic because I do think like Tarantino, I'd like for you to help me fill this in. Is you're talking about an exterminator's type of lines. Is Christmas the one that's on the outs enough to pull the outside people in and eliminate some big players? Because I don't know if she's going to go anywhere anytime soon.
The first thing I want to say is that the best part about your theory here with Christmas being verbal Kent would be that it would really shut Brent up about, oh, Christmas shouldn't be in the game anymore because she was out of the house and she's injured. But in terms of Christmas's ability to pull that off, I do feel like she's probably the person, maybe other than Mark right now, that really sees what Paul is doing. The problem right now is that she doesn't care, which is kind of where Andy was sure. Throughout the season with Amanda, where like obviously he saw what she was doing, but he was like, well, it's fine, I'm gonna bide my time, I'm gonna wait until the right moment. I could see that happening. The problem is that she doesn't really have, I think, the relationships to pull off a coup like that. She gets really agitated at people, and her social game is just all over the place. She doesn't really have any allies other than Josh, so it's kind of hard to picture her being successful unless she wins something and pulls off some kind of like crazy move.
Okay. Riley says, will Alex finally make us proud and start playing for herself this week, or is this some fan fiction? Definitely fan fiction, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No way Alex is going to go and start to pull something off beyond Paul's wishes. Jenna McDaniels, is there a chance Paul goes out in a double eviction? That would be the time to take a shot at him. Taryn, can you give us the scenario where Paul goes out in the double eviction? So if somehow Cody wins the veto, then what? Cody wins HOH?
I could see Cody winning HOH, Mark winning HOH.
Votes to knock him out at that point?
And here's the thing, especially if Alex uses Mark as a pawn this week, which is possible, then he could be mad at Alex. There could be some bad blood. He could end up putting Alex and Paul up on the block, which is perhaps the one scenario where Paul doesn't have the votes to stay. And just like that, we could see Paul gone and an entirely new game.
Oh, piss.
Yeah.
Okay, Spencer, what is that, a 1 in a million shot?
1 in a million for that to happen?
Yeah.
No, I don't think that it's 1 in a million for Cody to win a speed-type competition, which would be the double eviction HOA.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's see if if the tinfoil hats come out, if we have some sort of like machine gun assembly type veto once again.
Yeah.
We'll see if it's something that's really in his wheelhouse. Jill says, did Mark put in enough work with Alex to get past this week to not be a target? Taryn, what do you think about Mark?
I mean, they certainly worked on Mark and he worked on Alex, and he has a good relationship with Jason. So I don't see Alex wanting to target Mark. Alex and Jason in particular want to target Elena over Mark. So even if Cody is safe, I could easily see them pushing for Elena. The problem is that Paul will absolutely be pushing for Mark at that point. So it'll be a bit of a battle on that front.
Okay. All right. Lauren says, do you think that the noises they've been playing all week will be for the safety competition? Taryn, can you talk about the noises?
So they've been playing.
Hey, y'all, this house is haunted. I'm telling you. I'm hearing noises.
Did you just get cold in here to anybody else?
These noises are setting me off. It's not fair.
I've got Square on my phone. I could take care of this problem for you.
They've been playing random noise, like jackhammer noises, babies crying, dogs barking.
That wasn't Cody and Jess?
Well, you know. It could have been the combination of Cody, Jess, Matt Raven, Elena Mark. could have been any one of them. So they've been playing these all week long. We thought it was going to be for the HOH competition, and then instead it was a magic show. So who knows?
Do we think that that was some sort of a warm-up for David and Dania? Was that like sort of like their entrance music? Was that them practicing?
Yeah, I guess so. That was they were doing the rehearsals, and they were just making some noises. I guess it's just a byproduct of changing your clothes. Not that I'd know.
Yeah,
that was the red herring. Yeah. You know, like a very Hitchcockian of the producers to like make them think that these noises were important. And then David and Dania.
And they'd been studying them all week long, like very intently, like studying these noises, and then these two magicians come out.
Yeah. Nikki, can we find a scenario where someone other than Elena, Mark, or Cody goes home this week? I mean, anything can happen. Expect the unexpected. Spencer, is that a possibility?
That someone else will go home besides those three? I mean, I think the smart money is on one of those three.
Yeah, but is there a scenario where one of them doesn't go home?
Scenario, let's see. No, there's not.
Taryn, agree or disagree?
I think for the most part, I would agree. I do think there's a very small chance that we could see Matt go home this week. There's been a lot of chatter about Matt and Raven and how people aren't very happy with them. And maybe we should put Matt up on the chopping block. We could see, theoretically, we could see like, you know, Cody wins safety, Mark wins veto and pulls Elena off or vice versa. Or one of them wins veto and then there's two people on the block. And then they're like, well, we can keep Elena another week or Mark another week. We should take a shot at Matt while we have the chance. It's theoretically possible, but not particularly likely.
Just one last thing before we wrap up, that in the beginning of the game, Alex and Cody had this close relationship. Alex talked about how with Jessica out of the picture that there would be an opportunity. Not that Alex and Cody are going to showmance, but is there a possibility that Cody ends up sort of having a rekindled alliance with Alex and she may want to keep him in the house? Taryn, is that a possibility at all?
Jessica forbade it.
Well, was he not going to work with her? I was like, I'm sorry, you have to put me on the block. My girlfriend said I'm not allowed to talk to you.
Pretty much. I mean, that's pretty much what happened.
We'll see.
You all know how like awesome it would be if he showmanced Alex too.
Oh well, and then was I mean, and Jessica was pregnant with his baby on the outside.
That would be incredible. Like,
yeah,
talk
about iconic. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Previously on Big Brother, Cody conceived a baby with Jessica, who got voted out of the house. And then the Marine decided to go to...
I think that's the point in which Big Brother says, you know what? Screw the game stuff. We need to just run with this.
And then yada, 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 Paul. But Jessica is now 3 months pregnant. Okay. All right. let's talk about what's coming up here on Rob as a Podcast. So You Think You Can Dance Season 14, Episode 8 recap is up on the wrap ups. Check out what's going on there. Nick Yadanza, he's got Survivor Australia exit interviews as well. Very excited about that. The exit interviews from everything from this week on Australian Survivor. And then I'm going to be with Taryn and maybe even Alex Kidwell tomorrow morning when we update the overnight feed. So be on the lookout for that Friday morning, and we'll be doing that at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. And then Sunday night, I will be back live after Game of Thrones for the West Coast version of the Big Brother Sunday night recap. Join us at midnight or 12:15 Eastern, 9:15 Pacific. And of course, Taryn, you will have some live feed updates over the weekend as well.
Yes, we will be live noon Eastern over the weekend to update you on the live feeds. It'll be a lot of fun. I have a lot of fun doing those. We have a great crowd that comes in and chats with us on those Facebook lives. So it's very, very fun.
You look a little Mr. Robot right now.
I was thinking Mr. Robot too. That's exactly what I was thinking.
I don't know why you're pointing it out now all of a sudden. It's the end of the podcast, Rob.
Yeah,
why
didn't you say so earlier? You were wearing that the whole time, that hood?
Yeah.
So what? Weird.
Yeah. Rob, I don't know what's wrong with like your vision. Do you need to get your eyes checked?
I don't know. I'll check that out. All right. Okay. Well done. Spencer, anything else you want to mention about BB-19 or anything else?
No, nothing else. Nothing. I think we've talked all my opinions of BB-19. And, you know, that's it, man. I got nothing. I got nothing going on. Nothing exciting to plug. Hey, if you'd like to donate to my Hearts of Reality, and I don't have that even going on. I'm pretty much just normal dude on the streets. So nothing exciting.
Okay. What about to follow Spencer on Snapchat?
No, you don't. I mean, I don't snap that much, but you can follow me on Snapchat. You can follow me on Twitter at Spencer B. Clausen for all my
hot takes,
just bizarre musings. Yeah,
sure. Bizarre musings. Sure.
Yeah.
And Spencer, I again, congratulations on the paid off house. I was only joking about the ghosts. I hope that you do not require any of Raven's services to come in after the fact.
I don't want any of Raven's mini servers.
I was told that when Josh referred to Jessica as Linguini, it's because in Josh speak, it turns out that a meatball is a boy and Linguini is a girl.
Oh,
yeah. Maybe.
Oh, no. Okay. I talked about I think my house could be haunted. My microphone is falling off.
Oh, my God.
Raven's ghosts are coming for you.
Rob, I'm coming. You brought this on yourself, you stupid idiot.
Yes.
All right.
I'm trying to raise awareness.
All right. We have to go now. Rob, I'm telling you, this is all your fault. They're here. Okay. All right, everybody. Halting Hex Rides. This podcast dies. All right. Great job, Taryn. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Take care, everybody. Have a good night. Thanks so much, Scott St. Pierre, behind the scenes. Bye.